Good evening, welcome everyone. So tonight's share number 75, January 30th, 2008, Chof Dalet Shvat Toshin Samiches. Mitzvah Hashem, later on tonight we'll discuss why this date, Chof Dalet Shvat, has a special meaning to me. And we'll try to tie it into this year, and we are holding in the Kodesh, in the sanctuary. We are not at 273 Bala Kinwood. We're not in Philadelphia. Bob's looking at me like I'm crazy. This is non-alcoholic. Okay. It has a little tinge to it, but it's, yeah. Okay, just a quick review to recapitulate a little. We said we are climbing the mountain. We are going all the way up. We have to always focus on the goal. A person doesn't focus on the goal, and if he's driving the car, and he doesn't know where he's headed, doesn't know directions, and he doesn't have his GPS, so he's bound to get lost. And I can tell you stories of getting lost, but that's not what we came for tonight. We came for a goal to elaborate and clarify parts of the tefillah in the Berchas Yotzer Or, in the brachas that precede the Kriya Shema. And we explained that there are two ways to see God's hand, God, in this world. And we explained that there is the way of seeing God through nature, through His creations. And we explain that there is another way, even the higher level, the ultimate goal, which Mitzvah Hashem will get to in the weeks to come, through Limud HaTorah, through learning the Torah itself. And that's why we have these two methods, these two ways, which precede the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, the Kriya Shema itself, when we accept God's sovereignty over us. Now, in order to accept God over us as the King, the ruler, we want to first realize to some degree, in our minute ability, His greatness. And we do that by focusing on those two aspects, those two ways, which we can see His hand. And that is in nature, and that is in the Torah itself. And tonight we'll continue with discussing how we can see God through nature, and that's what this bracha is dealing with, the brachas Yotzer Or. Before we get to that, we'll quote the pasuk in the Navi, "Su'u moroim einechem, ure'u mi vora eile." Su'u moroim einechem, elevate your eyes. Su'u means to elevate, look up. Su'u moroim einechem, ure'u, and see, mi vora eile. Who created these? Says the Navi. Me and Eile, you put those two words together. And what do you form? You form the word Elohim. Who created these? What's these? This world, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything. Who created these? Elohim. What is the kavana? What is the mindset we should concentrate and have when we say the word Elohim? That Hashem is the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siman Hey. That Hashem is Takiv Baal Haicholus Baal Hakoyches Kulam Shemashgiach Aleinu Bashkacha Protis. That God is Takiv Baal Haicholus. He is the ultimate power. He is the one who is in charge of everything. Ubaal Hakoyches Kulam. He is in charge of all the other powers. He pulls the strings. As we mentioned the story last week with that tulip, He makes sure the tulip closes at night, and He makes sure the tulip opens by day. And why is He doing all this? In order that su'u moroim, in order that we should lift up our eyes, uru'u mi vara elin, see who created these. Every single thing that's in the world, every single creation, let it be the doimein, the rock, the inanimate objects, the rock, the pebbles, the stones. Let it be the little blades of grass, to the big evergreen trees. And we'll get to the more in the shir, Mitzvah Hashem, tonight. Everything was created for one purpose. For God's kavod. For Hashem's glory. For us to recognize and see these were created by Hashem. And that's what we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem tonight. Through this tefillah, which we say as the introduction to Kriya Shema. To accepting God as our King. And as we said last week, was beginning. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yotzer Or Uvayri Choyshech, Oysa Shalom Uvayri Sakol. God is the former of light, the creator of darkness. He is the maker of peace and the creator of all things. Why do we discuss Yetzer Hara, the former of light, and the creator of day, light and darkness? Why do we discuss the two together? Because there were those atheists, those agnostics, who would say, there's a God of the day, there's a God of the night, there's a God of the sun, there's a God of the moon. No, that's incorrect. Comes along the tefillah and tells us, Yaitzer Or, Ubayri Choshech, the same God that creates the Or, the light, is the same one, the same King, the same God who created the darkness as well. Ubayri Choshech. That's what the two are juxtaposed and put together right next to each other. Because it's the Melech Malchei Amlochim, it's the King of all kings, who is in charge and running the show. Whether it be by day, whether it be by night. HaMeir Lo'oritz V'Ladvarim Aleh Barachamim. What does God do to us? What does He do for us? He is Meir Lo'oritz, He illuminates the earth, V'Ladvarim Aleh, and provides the light for those who dwell on it, Barachamim, with compassion, as we explained last week. That the light, if we would just open our eyes and see the brightness of the light right away, it'd be too blinding for us, too strong. So what does Hashem do? He has the sun rise gradually, slowly, in certain measures. And that's when our system can take in the slow light. And it's the same with the darkness. The dark doesn't just come in a millisecond, but rather the sun sets slowly. And all of this is to recognize and to focus and to see that there is a God, there's a creator to the world. He's saying, look at me, I am here right in front of your face. And that's what took place from the parashios of Mitzrayim, with the 10 plagues, when Hashem took what we call nature, and Hashem manipulated what we call nature. And the blood was turned, the water was turned into blood. The Medrash says so much so that even when the Mitzrim went to relieve themselves, their fluids were not water. It was blood, says the Medrash. Because God's hand is in charge of everything. And what did the Mitzrim say? What did Pyro say? I am God. I made the sea. Who is God that I should listen to His voice? Who is God? We have to ask ourselves, if there's a power inside of us, that when things don't happen, things don't go the way we expect them to go, the way we want them to go, is there that little power inside of us and says, who is God? Maybe He made a mistake. Maybe the card He gave me today was the wrong card. Maybe the lottery numbers that my next door neighbor won, and he has his 3 cars already, maybe I should have got that. Is there that power inside of us? So Hashem says constantly, every single second of the day, the focal point is what? Is to see us, to see Hashem in nature. The great Rabbi Victor Miller, which we quote many times, and Hashem will quote many more times to come, he would say that sometimes people travel all over the world. And I'm not saying people should not go see Niagara Falls. Hashem, one day I'd like to see it also up front, if I have a reason to go that direction. Maybe that'll be the reason. But what does he say? He says, you want to see the beauty of nature? You want to see God's hand? Take a banana. Take a banana. In my house, bananas go very fast. So I might have to go to Niagara Falls. But my children, they come to me and say, Abba, can I have a banana? I didn't have one today. Because we all know, too much fruit, it's not good for the system. So, it's not, can I please have a banana? I didn't have one today. That's how the question is asked. Because it's too far on the counter, so the little hands can reach them. And after the little one says that, the older sister says, no, she had one today. She had one. Just happened a few hours ago. So what do we have there? A banana. Why is it green at first, says Rav Miller? Because when they're green, very green, and you try to peel it, it doesn't go. It doesn't budge. They're very hard. They're stubborn. And then what happens? All of a sudden they start turning yellow. And then you try to open the banana, and in seconds, you just peel it open. And then you wait another week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
It opens by itself.
Well, they start turning brown now. And then you don't want to eat them anymore. What? Green, yellow, brown, black. What's going on here? You know, just yesterday I noticed a crayon glued to the tablecloth. Well, it wasn't too strong, so I picked it up and I know who did it. I said, anybody know how this got glued to the tablecloth? So I saw a smile coming from one of my children. So I said, maybe you know? He says, yeah, I did it. Very proud of it also. There's someone's pulling the strings here. Someone made that banana green at first. Because when it's green, it's for us to tell us, Hashem is telling us, don't eat it. It's not ripe. If you want, we'll eat it. It is not healthy. Then what happens? It starts turning colors. Then it turns to yellow. Hashem says, it's a beautiful yellow color. It's attractive. It's beautiful. Now is the time to eat it. But then when it starts turning brownish, it gets mushy now. It's going downhill. How many times do we look at a banana and think of a banana in such a way? I'll tell you one thing. If we drive all the way up towards Toronto, Canada, and we take bananas with us and go towards Niagara Falls and pull the banana, a green one, a yellow one, and a brown one, I think we might appreciate it a little more. Because when a person puts something into it sometimes, then he comes to appreciate it. But when we go to the store, go to the fruit department, and you buy the fruit, you know, eat it quick in a rush. In this day and age, everything has to happen faster and faster. And the one thing Paro didn't want us to do is don't think. He didn't want us to think. So what did he do? He said, make the work more. Because when we're too busy working, we can't think. And maybe that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we too busy doing things in life that we don't come to think, to see Hashem? And even when we go to all the way to Niagara Falls, I saw pictures. And you'll say, wow, that's a wonderful sprinkler system over there. You know, where's the faucet? Where's the off button? Where are the batteries? He might not see God's hand in that either. So Hashem gives us the light. He's Meir La'aretz. He illuminates the earth. And for those who dwell on it, us, so we can see His hand. Barachim with compassion. He does this with mercy. He brings the light gradually. And with His tuvoy, with His chesed, everything Hashem does for us, whether we realize it or not, is kindness, is chesed. He's mechadish v'chol yom tov ma'aseh v'reishis. He renews every day, continually, the work of creation. If I'm not mistaken, from the first day of, ever since we have the water on earth, it's that same water that's being recycled. Is that correct? Sounds right, right?
Great.
Water comes down, water goes up, evaporates, down, up, down, up. Hashem knows exactly how much water to bring down. There's something called Gishmi Bracha, rain of Bracha. And unfortunately, sometimes it's too much rain. It's a punishment. It's a flood. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that if a disaster takes place in the world, it's for us, the Jewish people, to wake up and recognize and realize that it's a wake-up call. That Hashem is sending it for us. All the paronias, all the tragedies, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, whatever might take place, even if it's in different countries, even if it's in outer space, We should not hear tragedies. But if there are tragedies, it's for us to take the message, a wake-up call. And to ask ourselves, are we doing what we should be doing? Are we following God's ways? Do we see God every single day of our lives? Morabu Masecha Hashem. How many are your works, Hashem? Kulam, all of your works. Kulam, all of them. Bechochma Asiso. You have made everything Bechochma. Moloch Aretz Kinecha. The earth is full of your possessions. We said in the past when we discussed the Tefillah Sashayasar, the Tefillah we make after we clean our system, after we come to the bathroom. We said Bechochma, the Eitz Yosef explains, is Bechmachia spelled out all the words, the Beis, the Ches, the Chof, the Mem, the Hey, is Bechmachia 613. Because we said, Asher Yotzer Es HaAdam Bechochma, God formed man, He created man Bechochma. For what purpose? Tells us the Eitz Yosef. Bechochma. To study the 613. Here we see, how do we see God's hand? Bechochma, in the nature and in the 613 and in the Torah itself. Hashem is saying, you are my children. I am your father. Pick up the phone and call me and talk to me. Now, I mean literally, Bob. Hamelech Hamaroimim Levadai, the king, who alone, there's no king of the day and there's no separate king of the night. But it's the Melech Hamarim Levadoi. God is alone running the show. Meyoz, from then, from the beginning of time, Hamishubach Vamafayar, who is praised and glorified, Vamisnasei, is uplifted, Mimois Oilam, from the beginning of time. Let's now spend a few minutes on these words, Marabu Masecha Hashem Kul Mechoch Masiso, Molo Haaretz Kinecha. As our Schwab, as Atzal, our Schwab, Shimon Schwab tells us, Marab Masecha Hashem, Kulam Bechoch Masiso. How many are your works, Hashem? You made them all with wisdom. As we explained last week, everything Hashem created, there's a parallel. There are types of animals in the ocean which have a counterpart, as the Gemara tells us, to the dry land. But those that are in the ocean cannot survive. The mighty shark cannot survive on a dry land. The mighty king of the jungle is not such a king when he's in the water, in the ocean, in the middle, and his strength runs out, and he's shark food. Everything has its place, its time, its purpose. And Hashem orchestrates it all. The word asisa, we say, Marabu Masecha Hashem Kulam Bechoch Masisa. The word asisa means the way you have finished it, tells us Rosh Rav. And we're saying here, the way in which your creations present themselves to us. And the point is that the more we study nature, the more we discover the enormous intelligence behind it all. It's not just haphazard. A person takes a trip to the zoo. He takes a trip to the aquarium. He sees the beauty of these fish. You want to know, like, you know, I went to the store, so I wanted to buy some nice flowers for Shabbos. So I see this beautiful, different purplish color flowers. Oh, that's gorgeous. So I go buy them. And then I put them in the water. And then, what happens? The water starts turning purple. You know why? Painted. Because these flowers are painted. A fraud! I didn't get my money back, don't worry. That's not what happened. They were still beautiful. So you wonder, who's painting this fish? The red, the purple, the neon colors. It doesn't end. We still don't understand the depths of the sea. We can't get... Science today knows more about space than they do in the sea. And they don't know anything about space. And they'll be the first to tell you that. I mentioned this a while ago, and I'll mention to us again. I went to the zoo This past Sukkot. It was after Sukkot, whatever it was. And I had the schus, the merit, to hear a tiny little roar of the lion. And I want to tell you something. I was shaken. And if for whatever reason, it just so happens that a little while before that, I was learning something, and I said to myself, the roar of a lion, okay, so how scary could it be already? How bad could it be? The roar of a lion. He was just standing there, resting, gave a little yawn, behind a very thick protected glass in his cage. And I felt it. And I looked at that beast. And I was scared. I didn't think it was going to come damage me. I didn't think it was going to come attack me. But I was just realizing the power of that lion. A roar could literally terrify and kill someone. The roar alone. And this is just one minute speck on this earth. And then we come, and our goal, our path, our GPS has to be programmed, because we're headed to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because the Berachos Yotzer Or, the Kriya Shema, as we said in the past weeks, is taking place in the Kodesh, in the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shemoneh Esrei is the ultimate face to face, we're meeting, we're facing, we're standing in front of Hashem Himself, the Melech Malchi Amlachim, the King of all kings, the creator of every single lion. Imagine that before we daven Shemoneh Esrei, we take those 3 steps forward and we encircle ourselves, we're in the middle. And we start with the tiny little ants and we put them around us. And we go bigger with the flies and the mosquitoes and the cats and the dogs. And different types of poodles and Doberman pinschers and the wolves and the tigers and the mighty lions and elephants and giraffes. And we're still down there and getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And then you have all the sea creatures. And we should imagine this. And we're down there in the bottom. We look up. We see these lions and these massive creatures. And we realize they're nothing when it comes to standing in front of God. They're just the creation, just like we are. And yet Hashem says, speak to me. I am your king. I am your father. I love you. Talk to me. And that's what this tefillah is telling us. Focus on this nature and we will come to see Hashem. And we stand in front of Hashem, and Mitzvah Hashem, we'll get to Shemoneh Esrei. And when we stand in front of Hashem, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, and we humble ourselves and realize we are inadequate, we cannot do anything without you, Hashem. And that's when our tefillos will be answered. Because when we stand in front of Hashem with our hands together, our feet together, and we bow down to Hashem, we are expressing our inadequacy. We cannot do anything without you, Hashem. Rav Shraub continues and says, Mala haaretz k'inecha. The earth is full of your possessions. That's what the literal translation means. The earth is full of his possessions. Kinyanecho, the word kinyanecho, comes from the word kinyan. Kinyan, in the words of Chacham, of Chazal, is an acquisition. To acquire something. For example, a person finds something which is hefker, it's ownerless. A person wants to purchase something, wants to buy something. He makes a kinyan. How does he make a kinyan? How does he acquire it? Makes it by different ways. Either by hagbah, he picks it up. Or by meshicha, he pulls it. Or if it's kesef, money, he purchases it with money. Different ways of acquiring things. Molo ha'aretz k'nenechio. The earth is full of his possessions. All of these acts, all these creations on the world, in the world, are proofs of Hashem's possessions. And that's what we're saying, Molo ha'aretz k'nenechio. Everything we see, everything around us, is living example of the living God. However, you have on the other hand, not Bikoris, the non-believer. The non-believer. And I'll tell you something, there's no such thing as a non-believer. There's no such thing as a non-believer. The old story, there's no atheist in the foxhole. There's no atheist in the foxhole. Why do they say that the world was created 20 billion years ago, whatever they say today, because it changed from last week's textbook? Why is that?
It's 20.
I don't know what they have today. Maybe they say 23. I don't know what they say today.
It's changed from 15.
I have over here 20.
Well, we have a scientist here.
Either way, it doesn't make a difference. 15, 20, 10. I'll give them 1 billion years. They're all, why do they say this? There's only one reason. And it's very simple. You turn on the radio and you hear that there's a police strike. There are no state troopers on the turnpike. And by the way, it's 65 mile an hour speed limit. By a show of hands, how many people are going 65 miles an hour today? That's why. Nobody wants to be told what to do if they're not Bikoris, if they're a non-believer, if they don't believe in God. So if there's no policeman on the road, they're going 65, 75, 85, 95. There's no one there to stop them. They want to live their life according to their set rules. Their moral and immoral set of rules. Because they don't have moral laws. Because they make them and they break them. So that's why the Apikorius says, yeah, there was a big bang, there was a this, there was a that, this happened, that happened. Every few years they come out with new things. You look in the 1970s, what they said in the 70s, it's all erased. 40, 50 years later, whatever it might be. They have new theories, they redevelop the theory, they improve it. And the textbooks from 15 years ago are not good anymore. Our textbooks are fine. Okay, so now we have laser print, so we have better, can see them better. But the same chumash we have today is the same one we had 30 years ago, the same one we had 60 years ago, 600 years ago, all the way back to where? To Moshe Rabbeinu. Molo ha'aretz k'nenecho. The world is full of Hashem's possessions. What are Hashem's possessions? Every single aspect of the creation. Rav Schwab relates a story. And years ago, he was flying on a low altitude plane. And it was time to go daven. So he's davening, he sees the clouds as he's saying the words, Yitzor Vari Choshech. Hameil Oris Ladarm Le Barachimim. Morabu Masecha Hashem. Kulam Bechoch Masiso. How great are your wonders, Hashem. He made them all with wisdom. And he came back off the plane, he told Reb Breuer, Zatzal, Washington Heights, he told him how he said these words, he saw the sun. He saw he was in the clouds. He saw the sea below. He with such hisayrus, such islava, such awareness. He said never in his life before this did he ever say this tefillah with such an awareness. So he relates how Reb Breuer listened. He paused. He smiled. And he said, that's the same feeling I get when I look at a daisy. When I look at that daisy, I look at it and I see God. And the stories are told by many, 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 many people. With Rav Miller, who had his famous walks, and he would live to, I believe he was 93 years old. Up to 2 weeks before he was niftar, he gave, I think it was 25 shiurim a week. At that age. And he would take his walks, and he would focus and look at God's creation. And of course, if you see just a regular person staring at something, so one person comes along, oh, what are you looking at? Before you know, two, three people. Of course, you have the great Tzaddik, Talmud Chacham, the great Rav Miller, looking at something. So sometimes, before you know it, he'd be looking by himself, and another person looks by, walks only away. What is he? He dropped his lens. What's going on there? You know, he's looking, two, three, four, five people. Before you know, there's a whole crowd of people circling him, and they don't know what they're looking at. In the meantime, he's focusing on those beautiful flowers. Why should it work? You take a rock and you put it in the ground, you water it, give it the sun, sing to it. I think they say to sing to it, right? Talk to it. Nothing's going to come. But you take that same pit from the peach that has the seeds inside of it. And I once told somebody how it's not really humanly possible to open that up. And he wanted to prove me wrong. And I heard this from the great Rav Miller. But yet when you put it in the soil, Hashem says now it's time to open up. And the computer with the CPU and all the information that's needed to go into the soil and produce a whole new tree and more fruit is in that little seed. So what did he do? He takes it, he stamps, he's jumping on it, he's smashing it, he couldn't get it open. Finally, taking a hammer, he wanted to prove me wrong. So when you have people who are, you know, this passion, sometimes nothing stands in their way. I wasn't there to see it. So eventually I heard, like after pounding and pounding and pounding, you know, he finally cracked it open. I don't know if he felt good about it, or he regretted it after all that. I'd like to discuss for a second the day Chof Dal Shvat, and go back 6 years ago. Because one of the most amazing aspects of the creation that God has given us to focus on and to appreciate and to realize His hand is in everything is the birth of a child. And Chof Dal Shvat was when my first son was born, my Yosef. Hashem blessed me before that with a daughter, and now He gave me a son. And the Sefer Chovos HaVavos elaborates at length about the miracles, the nisim, that take place while a child is inside its mother's womb, being protected, being fed, surviving, and coming out into the world. However, sometimes we take things for granted. And sometimes this sometimes happens too often. So, Hashem has His ways to wake us up. Sometimes it's a stiff neck. Then we realize, you know what? I never know I had a neck before. Sometimes it's some back pain. Sometimes it's a shoulder surgery. I remember the time after I came back from my surgery and went back to yeshiva, and I couldn't lift my hand to my head totally. So I couldn't get my tefillin on properly. So when I was in my home, my parents helped me out. So I put on my tefillin shel yad, and then I took out my tefillin shoshan and I put it on, and of course, it's forbidden for us to speak in between. We make the bracha for the shel yad and the hand and the head, so I can't call for help. So someone next to me, he said to me, can I help you? And he gave me the helping hand, let me tell you. And he took his hand, and he helped pull down on the left side, while I pulled down on the right side, and I got my tefillin on my head. When was the last time we said, oh, Baruch Hashem, my two hands work, I could put on my tefillin on my head. Imagine a person had my brother has a cast on his hand, he said, I can't wait to get this cast off. when we walk down the street, to appreciate our ankles that they work, from a little pinky toe all the way up to our head, all the bones in the body, all the muscles, all the tissue, our eyes that can see the beauty of God's creation, and He gave it to us to recognize. Kulam bechokhma siso. Hashem created everything with kulam bechokhma, with chokhma, with wisdom, for us to see Him. We say later on in the tefillah, Hamelech hamaroyim levadoi, meolas hameshubach mafayar hamesnasei mimaisoilam. He is the King who is exalted. He's praised, glorified, elevated since the days of old. Elokei olam barachamecha harabim, with a tremendous amount of rachamim, of compassion. Rachim oleinu, compassion upon us. Adoinu zeinu tzur meskabeinu, the Lord who strengthens us, the rock of our stronghold. Mogei nishenu miskov ba'adeinu, the shield of our salvation, our tower of strength. Rav Schwab explains this. Adoinu zeinu, these words, these stages refer to different four stages in man's life. The infancy, like we just discussed 6 years ago when my son was born. A baby is born into a world. I saw once a calf, a baby, a horse once being born. These animals that come out. I saw a little, a few minutes later. Slowly, sure, but surely, got up on his feet. Starts walking around. Baby, my 5-month-old, 6-month-old. My almost 3-year-old. I told you a story about 3:30 in the morning. What happened?
Pizza.
Pizza. Time for pizza. 3:30 in the morning. I don't know what she was talking about. I can't have her wake up with everybody else in the house. I saw that face, you know, the tears are about to come. So pizza, I'll give you a pie, whatever you want. She remembers it. 3:30 in the morning. Infancy, Adoinu Zeinu. Hashem is the Lord who strengthens us. If we survive that infancy, it's because Hashem, despite all those terrible tragedies, chas v'shalom, God forbid, that can befall children at that age, it's because Hashem passes through that stage. We'll go quickly because we run out of time. Tzor misgaveinu. Now we're discussing the stage in the person when he's from a child, in childhood to adolescence. He is almost a full, mature person. He's growing up. His physical strength, let it be a male or a female, is developing. He's not that infant anymore. He's a grown person. He's a tzur misgabeinu. He's the rock of the stronghold. That's the stage we're referring to now. When the physical bodies have developed, and now we're mature people. Rav Schwab continues, Mogein yesheinu. He is a shield of our salvation, because now we are mature. At least physically. Hopefully mentally as well. Now when Hashem saves us through this time period, the shield of our salvation. Sometimes we don't realize the dangers that befall upon us. The burden of making a living. It's not always easy. Raising a family. Responsibilities. When Hashem helps us through this stage, we are thanking Hashem. He is the Mogein Yesheinu. He is the shield. He protects us of our salvation. And then, finally, the last stage of man's life. He is Miskov Ba'adeinu. This is taken from the Gro, the Vilna Goyen, as the Shaw brings down these four stages. And finally, as we said, the Miskov Ba'adeinu. This is when man is ready, going downhill. His physical body is starting to deteriorate. But yet Hashem still protects him and saves him. And that's what this tefillah is referring to. These four different stages in man's life according to the Vilna Gaon. And through all this, we thank Hashem that He's Adainu Zeinu Letzur Miskabeinu Mogi Nishenu and Misgav Ba'adeinu. He is the Lord who strengthens us. He is the rock of our stronghold. He is the shield of our salvation. Our tower of strength. Because we only and always can look to Hashem. So with this we conclude the focus point of the Birchas Yoitzer Or is to focus on the nature. Su mori meinechem uru mir vara elo. Lift up your eyes. Uru mi vara elo and see who created these.